Hallo und herzlich willkommen. Coach Simon hier vom Machbar Training. Es freut mich, dass du wieder eingeschaltet hast zum Podcast Machbar Training. Heute mit einem Special Guest, der Turi. Aktuell lebend in der Schweiz, ursprünglich kommend aus Island, eine Crossfit-Athletin. Und wir haben ein tolles Interview gehabt, einen tollen Podcast gemacht, über eine Stunde lang, wo es ums Thema Training, Ernährung, Vorbereitung auf die CrossFit Games, wie empfandet sie die CrossFit Games 2020 und auch wie geht es eigentlich bei ihr weiter. Also viele, viele Informationen zum Thema Training, zum Thema CrossFit, Functional Fitness, zum Thema Krafttraining für Frauen auch ganz wichtig und einfach alle, die wirklich daran interessiert sind, etwas dazuzulernen in dem ganzen Bereich. Also, viel Spaß. Der Podcast ist auf Englisch, so I hope you enjoy to listen to this podcast. Coach Simon.
So, nice to have you on the podcast, Turi. I want to give you the chance to tell the people who you are, where you're coming from, and how you find to CrossFit.
Okay. So, my name is Turi. My whole name is actually Turi Radla Helgadóttir.
Like that one.
But I realized pretty quickly that Turi is just, I've always been called Turi, but like at the games I just started like writing just Turi Helgadóttir and not my whole name, because otherwise nobody would know like who they are introducing, because it did not sound like my name.
Okay.
But actually I'm living in Switzerland now, almost 2 years. In December will be 2 years. I'm from Iceland. And I've been in CrossFit since 2010. And started in CrossFit Sport. And I'm also, like, I have a bachelor's degree in physical therapy.
I didn't know that.
That I got, like, yeah. But it's just a bachelor's degree, and I need a master's degree to be able to practice.
Okay.
That I got in 2018, which was a rough year trying to graduate and trying to qualify for the games, which I failed that year. And been living here since December 2018.
Okay, nice.
And for some change then.
I mean, you are for 2 years now in Switzerland, so that means you like the Switzerland?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's really nice here. We actually, like, the story behind that was, I mean, we just wanted, I mean, we kind of got the opportunity to move here. We had friends here that we visited, and then we went, of course, to the training, CrossFit training, and got to talking with the guys, and one thing led to another, and they like had an open spot for a coach, so we just decided to try something different. And my boyfriend Christian went and like coached a lot, and I coached nothing, and I was just training for the first year or so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And
it was just super, like, it was super nice to, like, I was just focusing on training and recovering.
Yeah.
Was, like, so much different from the year before, where I was like in a full time in school and stuff like that. So.
Okay. So the years before you were full time in school and were trying to go to the games.
The year before, but like.
Okay.
But I was in school, of course, like every year that I went to the games, but it. It worked out. I mean, that's also, it's hard to just be training. Like, it's super mm-hmm. nice to have something else to come home and just completely shift focus on something else and not to think about training. So that's also been tough. And since Corona, I like really need to do something else. So I've been trying to get on with my own program and like coaching war and stuff like that. So I'm just not, especially when you don't have any competitions, it's hard to be super motivated each day for training and recovery.
Okay, nice that you talk about that, because I think there are a lot of people out there, they always think, oh, if I just could focusing just on training, that would be my life forever. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's always, you see,
really hard.
Sides. Yeah. One side just focusing on training is fine. You get better and better, but still there's time left. So what you're going to do with the rest of the time? You need other goals, right?
Yeah. I mean, so I was in school like for most of the years. And I got into physical therapy in 2013, I think, like a long time ago. And like that was the year that I like finally got in. Like I tried the year before, got to the games like in 2012, did not get into physical therapy. And then the next year I like went more into studying, and I remember being like studying in between workouts at regionals, and I did not qualify. Like, I mean, it's hard, but you have to be like really, you have to, I mean, yeah, it's just hard to mix both together. And then when I didn't qualify in 2013, in 2014, I was like, I'm going to go next year. And then I was in like full time in school because you can't, like what I would have wanted was to be able to maybe like have less classes. So I would, what would have worked out for me was not be like full time school. And maybe instead of doing like 10 classes, doing like 5 or something, that would have been perfect. And so and I was just super motivated to go to the games again. And 2014, I might be mixing some years together, I'm not sure, but in 2014 I went with a team, and then in 2015 I went to the games again as an individual. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry.
Okay, no worries. So what do you think? Let's come to the games in 2020. I mean, this was a completely different year this year with Corona and everything. Did you follow the games 2020?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. What do you think about this, how it went? It just like 5 females and males went to the ranch and had this competition. What do you think about the competition over there?
I mean, my thought was just that the whole process, like the first stage of the games, like that they made it online. I just think it's super cool that they actually went on with it. And also the top 5. I mean, I like to watch it. I've heard some people say like it was stupid, just 5 people, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, I like the workouts. I watched most of the workouts and I really liked the workouts, and I thought it was fun watching. So I
think definitely.
It was just like a great job for the guys to, like the headquarters to actually hold the games this year. Would have been awesome to have participated in something of it, but hopefully next year will be better.
Okay, so you are focusing right now for the games for next year?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any plan out how it goes? Like, is it still there? The opens, right? I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so are there maybe the, what they call it? The
sanctionals.
Yeah.
Sanctionals.
The sanctionals.
Yeah. I mean, I think they put something out there, but I haven't been, I've not been, I don't know what they've actually like announced for next year. I don't think they've announced like anything except that the Open will be and start the 18th of February. And then there will be some, like, I don't know if they will call it again sanctional events. There will be, I think, fewer events. And I don't know if they will call it something else. But
okay. Yeah, because there were a lot of changes in the last past years, right?
But I think next year will be similar to the year before, though. But I've heard something about like that national champions might not like qualify through the Open like last year.
Oh, okay.
But I have no, I nothing, like I haven't read it anywhere.
Okay. Do you get any information directly, or you also have to go to like CrossFit.com and or
no,
CrossFit
I
Games?
Just have to look at the media, what they know.
Wow.
Yeah, everyone, except like if you maybe know someone who's working in at
okay. Do you have contact to other athletes? So you always, like, I don't know, chat with other athletes, how day training and how it goes and how they went and stuff like that?
No, not really.
So no social contacts to the other guys and girls?
I mean, nothing. I'm like, okay. I'm not paying really much attention to how they are training or anything like that. I mean
that's no, that's what you see from the other athletes also. I don't think that they, like, some of them get well pretty good, and also I think some of them live near together and stuff like that.
Yeah, cool.
What would be top three tips you would give to somebody who want to be a CrossFit athlete and pretty good at CrossFit? Are there three tips you can tell them? Because, I mean, you started 2010, you have a long relationship with the sport. So what can you give three tips for somebody who want to get better in CrossFit?
Wow. I mean, it depends. I mean, I think most of the people who want to be able to be like competitive athletes in the sport, they usually have like some weaknesses. Like, it can be like, usually it's either they're missing strength, or they're missing like the gymnastic part, like the just the technique, like the gymnastics movements. So you have to figure out like what needs to be the priority. Like, if you're really strong, then you really have to be focusing on like the muscle ups and butterfly pull-ups, handstand push-ups, handstand walk, stuff like that. Or you really need to focus on strength. If you're a guy who can't snatch 100 kilos, or a girl who can't snatch like 70 kilos, you have to be working on your strength. I mean, I think for most people, they have to start like really focusing on their strength, and then they can go more into technique. So usually, I would just recommend on like really going into some strength cycles for mm-hmm. at least like 3 months of the year, and just focusing on strength and not on like the cardio. I would just want to encourage and like say to people, like, anything is possible if you really want to get better, and that's your goal, then like all the small goals will just like kind of be like, you will know what the next step will be, and like the sleep and eating right and training, it also needs to be like 100%. And then just like work hard, and you will succeed.
Okay. Would you say, did you have a coach for all that? Like, did you get coached all the time? Do you have a coach who's like preparing something?
I mean, I have a coach now who does my program for me. So I have a personalized program from Árni Freyr in Iceland. Mm-hmm. We went together in a team in 2011, like my first regionals and games. We were together in a team. But like, I started going to classes in CrossFit sport, like probably my first 1.5 or 2 years into CrossFit. I just spent a little time, like I got there early and spent 15 minutes practicing muscle ups or handstand push-ups, or did some strength like before or after. So I probably trained like 5 days a week, joining the regular classes, and then I spent some extra couple of hours a week on just some extra stuff that I had time to practice and that I knew I had to be better at. And then I have been following different programs. Like, for most of the time, I was following Invictus and the training plan.
Oh, okay.
I spent 1 year, I think in 2013, I was following the Outlaw Way. It got pretty popular in Iceland, so a lot of people were following that. But before, I can't remember, like all the years just mixed together. Like at the Games 2016, I was following Invictus, and in 17, I was following the training plan. And like all in all, I was like 2 years, I think, on each program, or maybe total 3 years on training plan. But for the last 2 years, 2.5 years I've been getting my program from my friend in Iceland and
coach. Okay, would you say there's a big difference between a fixed program, what get a lot of people get, or like a program he's gonna just make for you and also like change it for you a little bit?
I would not say that's like a really, really big change. Like it's it's not so different. And like in my opinion, everyone can get pretty good, like they can get good on most of those like best programs that are out there, like for everyone, like online, like Training Plan and Invictus, like either one you're following, if you do everything else right, and if you really follow the program, you will get good. Like it depends on how much you stick to the program and how much of an effort you put into every training session that
definitely
will lead you to your goals. So
yeah, that's what I see. Like a lot of people are always trying to have the best workout plan and want to have a individual workout plan and they want to change something, but the biggest problem is the effort. If they don't stick to the effort and do everything right.
You also need to kind of know your weaknesses and strengths. So like I remember I was following the training plan and I think most of those program it like at Yami, he programs like he make there's a space for you to add your weaknesses.
Yeah.
So like if my weakness is strength, I focus more on the strength that I'm doing and maybe do extra set or like whatever, and or I can add, if like handstands are my weakness, I can spend a few extra minutes there. For me, it's just nice to have someone who I can be in more contact with Agne and say like I don't like this or I like this, and just we're more contact of how it's going. And he's known me since I started CrossFit, so he knows my weaknesses and strengths pretty well, so that works out good. But I think a lot of, I don't want to ruin it for people who are programming for feel like a lot of people are going in to open gym and have their own programs, but they could just show up in class and they could improve as much or more, in my opinion.
What do you think about, is there a difference when you see how the groups and the watts are in Iceland compared to Switzerland or Germany? Like effort and programming and stuff like that?
So I've not been to many gyms in Switzerland, so I can't really, I don't know how it is everywhere, but what I've seen now is I feel like Switzerland is like 5 years behind or something.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a little bit behind Iceland.
Yeah.
Just, in programming and you walk into a CrossFit gym in Iceland and have like 10 women over 50, just like mothers, and just like all of them are back squatting 100 kilos, like easily. Like I feel just that, the standard is a little bit higher than there. But of course we had like Annie winning the games like 2010 or something, and it pretty quickly went up. So it just looks like people have like believe that they can lift more weights, I feel.
That's definitely something we see. I would say downstairs, because downstairs is the training center where we work out, and I see a lot of my clients always, also the females, are a little bit afraid of that heavy weight. Like they get stronger, I can change it, they get stronger, so they have to use heavier weights.
We see
it with Lena. Lena was afraid, she was not afraid of heavy weights, but since she is doing my program, she's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And I put her in the weights she should use. And she'd be like, I can't squat that 70 kilos. I said, you can easily. You just have to do it. And then she's realizing that. And then she's like, oh, yeah, you're right. And yesterday she did box squats with over 100 kilos, first time.
Yeah. That's something I love with CrossFit. Like, I remember when I deadlifted 100 kilos and I was like, wow, that's 100 kilos. Like, I just never could imagine that I could lift something so heavy off the ground. And then like 6 years later or something, I'm squat cleaning 108 kilos.
Yeah.
Like it's just crazy. I would you can't do so much more than you think. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Everything needs time, but everything will then come when you stick to the program, when you stick to the sport. Which top three tips would you give to somebody who wants to train for health? If there are anything you can think about, maybe you did a mistake, or maybe you saw somebody who did a mistake. Because what I often see is like people, when they are not athletes, they just want to do it for health. They want to feel good. They want to look good. And I see a lot of problems when they do stuff. Maybe they go too fast, too heavy, or they have a bad technique and still doing a lot of stuff. So is there three tips you would give somebody who says, I want to do CrossFit, I want to do training for health?
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to do CrossFit for health, I think in most of the good CrossFit boxes, you should be able to go into just a regular CrossFit class and like get healthy just doing that. Like I feel a lot of people, they want to improve before they go into CrossFit. Like it's some kind of you have to be like a superhuman to go into CrossFit class. Like it's not like that. Everyone has their like own weights, and yeah, like you said, just to focus in the beginning on the technique, and that the movement patterns are like to get like strong and like focus in the beginning on just getting strong, but also focus on the technique. So yeah, like you don't want to go too heavy and complicated movements like clean or like the Olympic movements. You don't want to go too heavy in those in the beginning, and be patient on like going heavier. And then mobility is really important. So like just to be able, if you want to be healthy, you have to move correctly. And so that's like technique and the mobility. You have to be able to get into the positions to stay healthy in the moments.
Also, we make it clear for somebody who is going to listen right now. If you can't go into a good front squat position, okay, and you see it when you're doing the workout of the day, and you see I have problems to go into a front squat position, you should take some time and work on your mobility for that. Because a lot of people, sure, you get better when doing it, but still, you should take some time to take for mobility to get better in that movement.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people just listen and be like, yeah, but I'm doing front squats. Yeah, but you have to do more to get better with it.
Yeah. Then you could, for example, just have lightweight and just really focus. So, and I say people like, just go, like I remember coaching like 9 years ago or something and being like, you have to go lower. And I was not like, but the person could not like keep the, like it was just like, you have to go below 90 degrees. But now I'm just like, just go like a shorter distance. And as soon as you feel like something, feel your elbows going or like your shoulders going front, then you go straight up. You could also use a box but to sit on. But
yeah.
And then in between sets, you could be doing some mobility and then try if you feel a difference. And just like don't go too deep or too heavy.
What I often use is tempos, and pause. So it means you go into the position where you feel maybe your technique is getting worse. So you're gonna use light weights, but then you drop down to like, for example, stay with the front squat. You go down and you feel elbows gonna drop, mm-hmm. and shoulders come forward. Then you stay there, try to correct yourself, hold it for 2 seconds, and then you go up. And when people focusing on that, you see in 4 weeks, you see how much better they get.
Yeah, and also if you're going like slowly down, it's also like I can do 10 tempo squats with like 5 kilo plates almost, or like 10 kilos, and it gets like as soon as you get the tempo, it will get hard.
That's correct.
You keep the positions.
What else? So let's get a little bit private. What else you gonna enjoy besides of doing training? Like what are you gonna do in your free time?
So I go a lot out with my two boys. I have to show you one.
Can
I
show you? Yeah, show me. Nice. They're tired.
Yeah, I don't know after what because but they're a lot. They're tired a lot. But I just love to go out with the boys and I love to watch some TV shows.
Okay, for the podcast, guys and girls, boys are two dogs laying on the ground and chilling.
I love to go out with boys, yeah.
Just to make that deal.
Weekend, no. But
some outdoor activities you like?
Hobbies, except CrossFit. Like between, I used to be in school, so I used to be studying, and I'm, of course, love going to the movies and just meeting my friends. Actually, since I moved here, I have not been going to the movies. Like, remember in Iceland, we went like every week or something. But here's a lot is in German, so it's not nice.
You have to learn German then. So the next podcast could be in German.
I don't know about that. It's not it used to be a goal when we moved here. Like, we didn't know how long we were gonna stay here. So we started with like some app learning German, and that lasted for like 2 weeks. also because they talk Swiss German here.
Yeah, it's much harder.
Which is different. And so we are like, okay, if we learn German, then we still won't be able to understand the Swiss German and like.
But they would understand you.
Yeah, that's true. I know, yeah. I'm ashamed of my German,
passion for languages, that's okay. For me it's like, it's pretty hard. I mean, I opened up this business 6 years ago. So I have the training center. I did personal training before, mm-hmm. and I had another job before. And I was playing American football in this time. But when I think for 3 years, I quit it with football because I had no time anymore because of the business, of personal training. And that's how I went a little bit more into functional fitness, CrossFit in this scene. And yeah, hobbies for me, it's like the same. I mean, I don't have hobbies. Like, I love coffee, so I go out and drink coffee. It's very lucky because Selena has the same problem. We don't have any type of hobbies instead of like training and stuff like that. But I started to do mountain biking now. But I don't know if you can see it. I had my first crash today.
Oh my.
So I went down a hill. It was pretty cool. And I had like a kicker where you jump. Sure. So I went up for the hill four times. I did it four times. On the fifth round, I thought, okay, after hitting that kicker, I maybe can going more down in the woods. But the problem was, after that kicker, there was a big hole and I didn't see the hole. So I was driving and I had a crash. But nothing happens, just a little bit of, Simon, please wake up.
And like, I love going out for a bike. I love biking here. It's so much different, like the weather living here than in Iceland. Like, there's a storm like all the time in Iceland. Like, you can't, there are like few days where you go out and there's no wind. Like, I remember our first walks here when we moved here, like, it's like walking in a movie studio. Like, there's no, you can't hear anything and there's no wind. Like, there's no noise from like cars or anything. It's so different. But yeah, I'm scared of the downhill though. Like, I would love to bike maybe up a mountain, but I'm scared going down. I feel like most of the people are going up just to go down, but yeah. I'm scared of the downhill.
Okay, I do snowboarding, so that's why I don't have problems with speed. I think it's like snowboarding, but yeah, when you have a crash in the snow, it's much easier than have a crash with the bike, I think. I just started, so it's just for me because going out of the facility, I want to move out and see a little bit more outside.
Yeah, and like, we would have gone like skiing today if there was more snow. Unfortunately, there's not more enough snow. At least like here close by, we would have had to drive like longer distance. So yeah, but I went skiing for the first time when I moved here.
Oh.
We love it. Christian, my boyfriend, used to train skiing when he was younger, so he like really, really loves it.
Okay.
He's really excited, but I really like it too.
Nice.
So nice here.
Yeah, just right now a little bit problem with Corona, right?
Yeah, and we just heard about it like last week or something, that the ski places will be closed over the holidays.
Yes, you have to take the bike and the ski on the back. And you drive up with the bike and then you can ride down the skis.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe I'll think of here, hopefully with some friends over Christmas and the holidays. But we had a plan having our family over and driving to Austria and skiing over the holidays, but that we just canceled that when all the numbers started going back up, then we can't because we had a Airbnb, so we just canceled that. And hopefully next year will be better.
Yeah, definitely. So I got some questions of my community, out of my community. They're very interested about your dieting or your nutrition. So can you tell us something about, are you dieting or have a specific nutrition? Do you do intermittent fasting? Do you eat vegan? How do you say this in English? Vegan?
Vegan.
Or do you also track your calories, something like that?
So,
vegan, you said,
I have a template, like I follow a plan that I get from RP Strength. Do you know what it is?
I heard it before, yeah.
RP Strength, okay. So they have like one-on-one where you get your own template, and they also, have recently launched like an app that's super, super nice app, which like calculates everything for you. But so I've been since January last year. So now for, almost 2 years, I've been following RP, like, of course, a little bit on and off. Like I'm not 100% like strict on my dieting all the time. Mm-hmm. But it's really nice. Like I like to be like really strict for like a few weeks, and luckily for me, I usually just eat the same. Like I don't have to change a lot. Like I changed from bananas to mangoes in my oatmeal, and I feel like I have like a total different breakfast. Like that's like I just change like small little things. Also, like we sometimes just like bake a whole potato. Sometimes we chop it up and like put different things on. Then we feel like, whoa, we're cooking like different. But so that's pretty nice. So I feel like what it helped me the most is it helps me eat enough. Like I train a lot. So I think like in the past, I sometimes like just, I didn't have enough energy. Like I didn't gain muscle quick enough because I just was not eating enough, because I've always just had some hard time. I know some people might be like, shut the fuck up when I say this, but I kind of have to force myself to eat enough to have enough energy. I mean, I'm training 5 to 6 hours a day, so I really have to focus on that, and that helps me a lot, especially like over competitions. Getting enough carbs just makes the difference, that I like go into a workout and don't feel like I go on a wall. So that's what I follow. I can't remember like my exact macros or anything. What I like with RP is they focus like more on like how you train and just how your life is, how many carbs you're eating like each meal. So I tried before like counting macros, and then like all of a sudden it was 8 o'clock in the evening and I had so many carbs left. So I was like, okay, I'm just gonna get some cereal or like even just some candy, just because otherwise I would not be able to get all the carbs. So this way I know after my meal, my dinner, after dinner, like in the evening, I know I've gotten enough over the day, which I like.
Do you have any idea how many calories you're eating a day? Like,
I mean, I know it's around 3,500, 3,600.
Okay. That's very interesting to hear for some women, I think.
Or is it 2,600?
Ah, That's a big difference.
Make much sense.
3,500 would be great.
I mean, that would be too much, right?
It depends. I mean, you're training a lot of, so I think you could be definitely over 3,000.
Okay, like me and mom first, it's like I need to have a training partner because I'm like, what's my warm-up?
Yeah, I remember our workout.
I could say like I have, yeah. Also like with time and workouts, I'm like, I have no idea. Sometimes it's really bad. Like if I'm in a workout and I'm like I can't really think, and like I have some number in my mind, and so usually I think like too much of myself. So I'm like, oh my god, like this was my time. Yeah. I'm here in the workout, so I go like extra hard, and then I'm like PR more than I would have because like numbers are.
I think two months ago we did an online competition, Lena and me, and I wrote down for the guys who helped us, I wrote down exactly what they should put on the bar on my second set because I had no time to change. So they changed the plate for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, did the first attempt. It was a 2RM power clean or clean. And I did the first and I said, okay, let's put it up. And I was so in adrenaline and said, yeah, this guy, I wrote it there, just put it up. And everybody was like, Simon, but I said, I don't care, just put it up. So I was trying to count and I thought it's 110. And yeah. I put up 120, so 10 kilos more than I would normally be able to do that. And I was hitting, and later in the video, I was like, oh shit, this was 10 kilos more than I thought.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's crazy how your mind works. Like if you're, also you can just decide, like if you really believe you can do something, you can do it. And also it's nice sometimes you just don't know what's on the bar or somebody.
You have to hit it. Just hit it.
More, yeah.
I was like, I have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you live financially out just of CrossFit and the associated sponsors? You don't have to answer to that, but
no, I would not be able to. No, the only reason I have a roof over my head is because my boyfriend is coaching a lot.
No, but I think
I don't think I would be able to do it. No.
Okay, I think that's a big time because I remember when I played football, like. Football in Germany is not that big. It's getting popular, but it's not that big. But sure, we have some guys playing in the NFL right now. I was lucky to train one of them. So he was here, I was training him. And now he's playing in the NFL for New England Patriots. I don't know if you ever heard about them.
Yeah.
It was Tom Brady was there last year, normally the quarterback, but now he changed the team. And everybody was asking me like, oh, Simon, can you live out just the football? Because you're investing so much time. Because I was training every day. I was having a training camp normally on the weekend and all that time. And I was like spending money on that sport to get injured. You know what I mean? Because this sport really makes you injured someday.
Yeah.
But it was the passion. Yeah. It was not the finance aspect of it. It was the passion I had for the sport. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think living out of a sport would be like the dream of everybody, but I think it's the passion who brings you there.
Yeah,
someday maybe you get
like if you want to compete in CrossFit just to earn money, you will not be good. I think.
Yeah, that's like the wrong
aspect of life. You're just doing it because of money. You will.
That's the wrong attitude.
It's a wrong way. You will have to do it because of passion, and then.
I mean, it's
to something good.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice if you get something. That's cool. If you can live out of it, nice, perfect. But that's not the goal. The goal is to be the best athlete you could be.
Cool. Yeah, but I feel like CrossFit, or I've seen, is there are so many not even good CrossFit athletes that are like almost living out of CrossFit. There's so much. It's just so, it's different than like, I mean, there are track and field athletes that go to the Olympics and they cannot live out of the sport. So that's like pretty sad. So I think that there are a lot of opportunities through CrossFit, which is great. Like I would not, when I started, I would not have thought that I could make some money out of it. Like I remember getting my first like clothes sponsorship in Iceland, just getting free clothes. I was just like, wow, like this is pretty cool.
Yeah, nice. We talked about your nutrition, but what we didn't talk about was like alcohol. Do you ever, like, I'm a guy, normally I don't like alcohol because when I was young, I was drinking normal, like everybody's doing, but now I enjoy like drinking my beer and stuff like that. But when I was competing for football, I was really strict about my diet and also about alcohol. I never normally drank alcohol, just sometimes. But if I know I had like, I was in game mode and everything, I was in season. Mm-hmm. Everybody was drinking alcohol after a game. I was the guy who was not drinking. What is that about you? Like, do you enjoy sometimes to drink with friends or? Because I think
that the alcohol, no. Like, I don't like the taste of it. I mean, I'm super difficult. Like, after the games, I'm like, okay, I want to have a drink. And then I'm like, this is not good.
Yeah, you don't like it. That's good. The point. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm really, yeah, Christian's always like, you have to make it like really fruity and like, trying to help me, like, yeah, when he's talking to the bartenders. But I actually, like, I had a goal, like, I was never going to drink alcohol. Like, when I grew up, I think I was 24 when I tasted alcohol for the first time.
Wow. I think I was 15.
15? Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I barely drink. I drink maybe, I don't know, 2 times a year.
Yeah, I think it depends on, there's definitely, it's clear that when you drink alcohol, your sleep is getting worse, your recovery is getting worse, everything is getting worse. So you should really think about if you really need it. I mean, if you drink a beer with a friend once a month, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you're going to drink like every weekend because you go out with friends, I think that's something you really should think about. Okay. If you want to be good at sports and if you take care about your health.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I also think that, I mean, there's alcoholism, it's called alcoholism.
Yeah. Alcoholism. Is, yeah.
Like, it runs in my family. So, like, I actually, like, I could feel that if I was not so passionate about CrossFit and doing good and training, and if I was not training every day, I would probably want to drink. Like, I could feel that I was like, wow, it made me feel good. Like, I think, and there's like this tendency in me, I think. That's why, like, I would rather not buy any candy because I would eat it all if it was in my home.
Okay, gotcha.
That's why but I think I grew up just being really strict to myself and just,
yeah.
I quit drinking soda when I was like 12 years old or something. Like, I was just, I go like either way, I think.
Yeah. I think it's good that you like control the stuff. That's very important. I tell always people when we talk about nutrition, they'd be like, yeah, but Simon, do you never eat like candies or stuff like that? I said, sure I eat, but if I want to eat them, I can make the decision. I'm going to buy and eat it now. And tomorrow I'd be like, no, today I don't eat this candies. Also, I have it on my table here. So I could be very strict, and I am very strict about it. Yeah, but if I want to eat something and I feel good after, that's fine.
Yeah, but as soon as it gets like every other day or like three, like over the whole weekend, it will definitely make an impact.
Yeah, and people be like, if you tell them like, okay, make the decision, don't to eat it. Be like, no, I have to eat it. You know, they don't make the decision by themselves. They have to do it. Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I had like 3 years where I never touched a candy, alcohol or something. Mm-hmm. I was 100% strict with everything. They were crazy because my family said, like, Simon, you're crazy. Like, you don't eat anything what we, like, have on the table. I was not eating normal with my family. I cooked all the time my own food.
Okay, wow. Yeah. You were on a specific diet or was
just healthy diet. Just healthy. No, so normally my mom cooks pretty healthy to that time, mm-hmm. but there will be some stuff where I'll be like, okay, can you please like put the noodles out because I don't eat the noodles and stuff like that. Yeah. Not because of the carbs, just because of the type of the noodles they have.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why, like, I always, like not recently actually, but like through my life, I got so many comments like that. Like why people think you're, like kind of they're like, why are you not allowing yourself to eat this, blah blah blah, but I'm like I don't want to, like it's I don't feel, I'm not like, oh, I can't have it, like I just decide I'm not gonna have it because I'm training tomorrow and I want to just eat healthy, and it's I decided and I'm like, I'm happy with my decision, I'm not sad.
Yeah, that's the point. And the other people who normally ask you that question, I think they are almost not happy because they can't make the decision. They have to do it.
Yeah.
That's often when I went going out and people were like, oh, Simon, drink something with us. I said, no, I'm going to train tomorrow. Why are you not drinking? I don't understand it. Yeah. Just drink a beer. I said, no, I don't want to drink a beer. That's the difference. I like the taste, but tomorrow morning I'm going to go and work out. So that's why I don't drink a beer. I said, you could be happy that I go out with you guys. I could also stay at home and be like, okay, tomorrow I work out, that's why I don't go out. But I make the decision to go out and just drink water.
Yeah.
That's fine for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But always on that point, I think the people who be like, ask you that stuff, or they be like, yeah, but why do you don't do that? I think they're not happy with themselves often.
Yeah. And it, just if you make the decision, like if I decide something and then I don't do it, then I know I will regret it and I will be unhappy with myself. Like you have to like follow your goals.
Yeah.
You have to make decisions and in comparison with your goal.
Yeah.
I sometimes don't find the English words. Like I have the Icelandic word here and I'm like, oh.
Same with me in German, so no worries. Okay, let's go to this question here. And I think that's very interesting for like everybody, because everybody who like sees you working out, or also on my end, people always think like, oh, Simon, it's so easy for you. You can do every exercise, you can just look through it and then you do it. So let the people know if there's any exercise to really work pretty hard to can do it, or is there still an exercise out there you want to do and you're trying to do it but you're not able to do it right now? For example, a lot of people have problems with muscle ups. So is there an exercise you have a big problem with, or you had a big problem with?
There was just one exercise that went straight, like that I thought of like immediately, was like double unders. I had a lot of problem with that in comparison with like all the other movements. And like, I mean, I've competed at one competition where they had triple unders, and that I cannot do. Like I had there's something with just this that I have a long, like a really difficult time just getting the rhythm. But I cannot think about. I mean, of course I had, I remember when I was practicing the snatch and I had no idea what I was doing. Like I was so frustrated. I had no idea just how the bar was supposed to get up. Like, of course I remember being frustrated with some movements. But I can't think about, my dog is eating my pillow.
Okay. Yeah. No worries. I mean, that's good. I mean, you're working on your deficits. You're working on your problems. That's why I think you can remember one of the exercises. I mean, snatch, definitely. I remember the time when I was starting weightlifting and I thought I can do cleans and overhead squats and like snatches. And then they just give me the stick. And like I was done for the day, like just with the stick, like doing the perfect snatch technique, doing a lot of overhead squats with perfect technique. And I remember when I was starting to do good cleans before, I had like the power cleans just out of my arms, so like always like pulling out of the arms. And then they showed me how to do it correctly. And it needed a long time to get into that rhythm and do it correctly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was able to do it, but not perfectly. So that's, it was a long process, but nobody sees that.
I mean, I was 18 years old when I started CrossFit. So, I mean, I think I was pretty lucky, like pretty young. And like, so I hadn't been snatching for a whole, for a long time before, like wrong. Like many people start pulling too early and then it's hard to make it to switch back.
What was your problem with the double unders?
It took me a long time to get double unders. I just did not find the rhythm. I mean, yeah, and then like also when we had heavy jump rope at the Games 2015, I think I was the only one who didn't, like, I just was not able to do a double under with a heavy rope.
Okay.
So annoying. Oh my God. And I mean, I sometimes practice triple unders because we're like, oh, maybe triple unders, like it usually like a couple of months or weeks or something before the games, like if it shows up, which I'm always like, no, it will not, but then maybe it will. But like, oh my God, I have been able to perform, like to do some triple unders, but not string them together or anything. Like just some people try it and they get it right away. It's so annoying. No, but also, I sometimes feel like people want to be able to do whatever, like kipping pull-ups, butterfly pull-ups, muscle-ups, and they go straight there and start like practicing that. And they don't maybe even have a strict pull-up or something.
Yeah.
So you have to start at the beginning. You have to get good at strict pull-ups and then you can start doing kipping and then you can start doing butterfly and then you can start doing muscle-ups. Like,
it's, thank you for that.
You can just skip one step.
Yeah.
That, because I feel like a lot of people just want to go straight away and get that freaking muscle-up and they're just swinging around like crazy and their legs are going up in the air like crazy and then they just can't go over. Like, you're just not strong enough.
Yeah. I have a lot of, like, I often seen it and people be like, if you ask them, always they say, my goal is a muscle up or something like that. And then you ask, okay, how many strict pull-ups you can do? I have to use the band. Like,
yeah,
but then we don't talk about muscle ups right now. We have to go for strict pull-ups first.
Yeah,
then we can talk about the kip movement and then we can see how you, yeah. It's okay. It's good that you say that. So I think a lot of people who are going to listen gonna take that advice and gonna change it in their workouts.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you said you were injured on the shoulder last year, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, how do you deal with an injury like that? Like, what would you tell other athletes they are injured? What should they, how do you keep your motivation to come back and stuff like that?
So, luckily I could do like a lot of stuff. Like I was not, I mean, okay, for a few weeks it was hard to, I could not do anything hanging from a bar. So that was, I mean, it was tough, but I just, I think he wants to be with us.
What is his name?
Max.
Hey, Max. Hi, Max.
But luckily I could do clean and jerk without any pain. And
so yes, you were focusing on stuff that works good, that didn't hurt you on anything.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't do anything that hurts. I mean, of course it was really, it was a difficult time. I spent a lot of time on just strengthening my shoulder and like, because I mean, I even got, like, there was one doctor who said, like, you will have to go to a surgery to be able to train like you used to.
I think everybody has this type of doctor.
Yeah, and then, but luckily I had, like, physical therapist and like another doctor who told me that it's possible to recover. So I mean, I just always, I felt like my shoulder was always getting better. Okay, I did like, I was really stupid and I just thought to myself, okay, this is not serious. And like I was many, many weeks just hoping for the best, but and then went to an MRI like many weeks later, like too late. And then we saw that something ripped here, where the bicep tendon attaches to the labrum, and the labrum was a little bit like ripped. Luckily, not completely. And what was I gonna say? But so, it just took a long time.
You had no surgery then?
Yeah, no, but I had the steroid in my shoulder. What's it called?
I don't know.
Injection
or what?
Yeah, the cortisone injection. I got cortisone injection. And that helped a lot. And I just went like, after that, I didn't like do anything for a few days. And then I just really slowly got back. But it took a long time. Like this happened 2 weeks after the games last year. So in August, the middle of August. And I mean, I competed at Wodapalooza in February. And after Wodapalooza, like it got a little bit probably inflamed or something. I was a little bit worse. But I feel like after 5 weeks in Iceland in over the corona, where like COVID, when everything was closed, then I just really focused on not doing anything that was hurting my shoulder. So I feel like since then, I mean, it's always going to be there. I'm always going to feel it a little bit. Like sometimes it cracks a little bit because it's unstable.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit more unstable than the other shoulder. So sometimes if I'm doing many handstand push-ups or heavy shoulder to overhead push presses, push jerks or push presses even, sometimes it just, I can feel it, but I'm never in any pain. And
but did you
like many, many, many months of not doing anything that hurt and doing tons of shoulder exercises just for the small muscles, like every single day, and still like every single day I do something for my shoulder.
Okay. And the point for people are still working out, but don't do anything that hurts you.
Yeah.
And focusing on getting like the injured type of muscles, whatever it is, getting slowly stronger and stable.
Yeah, and the muscles around, like all the important muscles.
Yeah. I mean, I had
it's like they don't go and they don't go and move. Like it's so, I've hurt myself like over the time I've obviously been doing CrossFit. Like I sometimes, like before CrossFit, I had two injuries on my knees. I ripped my meniscus in football. I used to train football. And
you mean soccer?
Soccer, yeah. And not rugby or anything. And what was I gonna say? And yeah, but I just always worked around it. Like I didn't, if I couldn't do box jumps, I just did box step ups. Or if I couldn't do squats, sometimes if I could do lunges, I did that. Or I just changed it to something else. Like it's
There's always a way you can work out. I remember I had a lot of injuries because of football. I ruptured my hamstrings and adductors. And they were like really on like a small, small, small piece of the tendon. It was still alive, but just on a little piece. So all of the doctors I saw before said, okay, we have to make surgery. And I said, I don't want to have a surgery. And then I met one doctor who knows me pretty good. And he said, okay, Simon, we have two options. One would be the easy way to like just make the surgery. Second, I'm going to trust you. And we try to let it heal by itself. But please don't do anything for it. I said, okay, 12 hours before I went to the pool and moved my leg. He said, okay, but don't do more. So I moved my leg in the water all the time because I felt, okay, feels good, feels safe. I don't do anything hardcore. I don't do anything like explosive or whatever. So I did upper body work. I did everything fine. But lower body, I really like do it slow. And it really healed like 99%. And all the other doctors told me like, okay, Simon, you're not able to sprint anymore, like full speed. It's not possible. Everything is ruptured. You're going to get a lot of like scar tissue and stuff like that. But it's fine. Oh. And I ruptured my Achilles last year. Yeah, with playing flag football. I mean, I had problems with the Achilles tendon for a long time because of playing football. I always like was not recognizing that it was hurting after the games. So it really hurts after normal football games. And like 3 years later, you're going to just sprint and you're going to turn it because you never listen to your body. And that's a big problem. Mm-hmm. So always listen to your body.
Yeah. Yeah. That's number one.
Yeah. Let's talk about last question. Let's talk about training intensity. I mean, a lot of people I work with, like a lot of clients don't just be like, okay, Simon, sometimes I want to do like 2 workout sessions a day, blah, 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 blah. But they have normal jobs. They maybe just work out for like 2 years and they want to do like working out twice a day. I know you work out twice or 3 times a day, correct?
2 times.
Two times. And how long needed your body to like to can handle that type of intensity every day?
To adapt to that, like it, yeah. Like, I mean, like I said before, I just started training like 1 hour a day for my first 2 years, and it took me a long time to get to 2 times a day. Like at first, it was just like a couple of days a week that I might have gone like 2 times. And it was not until 2016 that I, 15 that I started training twice a day, but that was just, it was not for the whole year around. It was somewhere around the open. So it was like over the season, like maybe the beginning of year and until the games. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but of course it depends on the, like, what's your background? Like, what are you doing else? Like, how much are you working? Stuff like that, to how much you can actually train before it. Like, if you're not able to recover, I would say, like, it's always more important to get your 8 or 9 hour sleep than to go to training, like, 6 in the morning just to be able to get this second workout in.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion, and that's, yeah, I mean, sleep's number one,
and I think
be able to listen to your body. If you're not recovering, it's too much, and then you will just crash.
Yeah, definitely. But what is about your intensity during the workouts? Like, I mean, do you have two workouts a day that are pretty intense, or you also have just a skill session or something like that, or just an interval session?
Sorry, I was not ready. I don't have my, I'm getting low on battery. Sorry.
No worries.
So I always have, sorry.
We're still there. We're waiting for you.
Yeah. I have always, I would say like, I don't have 2 sessions that are all out. And like some workouts, if I have a little bit longer workout, then it's usually, I mean, it's not always 100%. Sorry.
Also jemand, der jetzt Isländisch kann, der hätte es verstanden.
What are you saying?
If somebody could understand Icelandish, Iceland, he would understand what you told.
Yeah. No, but I think it's important to sometimes go all out in a workout, but you can't do it every day. Otherwise, you will probably not be able to recover after your training sessions. But I, so how my, I always have a weightlifting session in the first session. And usually, well, just like in this cycle and the cycle that I had before, I once or twice a week have a, like a short, like interval, like really intense also workout. And after, like, I do weightlifting and then I do a workout that's like an all-out sprint, because that's also kind of my weakness. Like sometimes if it's, if there's a workout just with power cleans, like not that heavy, so you don't, so you can just like power clean, touch and go, and then maybe go in some burpees, and then like a bike all-out sprint would always be really hard workout for me. Like if that kind of workout shows up, then I'm a little bit scared. So we have focusing a little bit more on that, and also just, yeah, like a shorter, short intervals that I sometimes have in my first session. And that's like all out. And okay, then usually in my second session, there might be some workouts. I mean, they're tough, but I'm not going 100%.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to train twice a day. How many rest days do you have in a week?
I have two rest days. Well, I have one complete rest, and like the only thing I do is some mobility work. And then I have one day that I try to go to like a zone two run, like a longer, really, really, like it's a jog. It's not a run. And or I try to go swimming also.
Okay. And what?
Also, like either one.
And what about mobility? Like, I mean, do you do, when you come home from the first session, do you do mobility after the first session, or after the second session, do you do mobility every day?
I always spend about half an hour before I start my training. Like sometimes it even gets to an hour where I'm doing mobility and like kind of warming up also, like mobility warm up. Before all my sessions. So like I probably spent like 2 hours a day just stretching and mobilizing. And sometimes I even do it in, like when I come home, I do a robot or stretch a little bit or lay on the lacrosse ball or like a foam roll.
Yeah, I think that's very important that people understand that the more you train, the more you have to do mobility stretching, and that's what I always forget and then get injured.
Yeah, like sometimes on Sundays I even just laying on the ball, like I can't, I think I like it more than other people. Like I can just be stretching for 2 hours. I think it's because of the gymnastics. I just feel good. I feel so good after stretching.
Yeah, me too. Definitely. Yeah. I don't do it so often right now because like that's really, really bad. I have to do it more. But normally I start my sessions also with like a good warm up, a lot of mobility drills. And I had normally times where I go home and just stretch and do nothing else and then go into bed. But right now I'm missing that point, definitely. But I will go back to that.
I've also just gone through like phases where if I had pain in my back, like I felt I could, I would just like get rid of that pain with a couple of mobility sessions. Like my glutes and my psoas and my hamstring and like, and that doctors, if those get tight, you can start hurting in your back for sure.
Yeah. And it's pretty funny. I also work with a lot of people. They are not going to be like a CrossFit athlete or whatever. They just want to be healthy. They have maybe back issues and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's so funny because like with the easiest mobility drills, you get them pain free. Like you show them how to roll the glutes and they'd be like, oh, my lower back, the pain is going away. And you'd be like, yeah, that's just an easy mobility drill. Just do it every day. I show you a stretch and then you're fine. Normally they would go to the doctor and be like, oh, and then they get whatever, surgery or whatever.
Exactly. And it just take, like, it doesn't even have to take you. I mean, I spent like half an hour just stretching and mobilizing, but it doesn't have to take you more than like 10 minutes.
Yeah, every day.
Yeah,
that would be fine. 10 minutes every day, but just start with 2 days a week, 10 minutes after 4 weeks, go up for another one.
Yeah.
And then you get into that. And then you really enjoy it after. Yeah.
Yeah, because also then you will start feeling better and then it will be a part of your routine pretty soon.
Cool. Good. I think we're done with all the questions here.
Okay, nice.
Nice. Good information for all the people out there who are going to listen to this podcast. And I'm pretty excited for our next meeting when we do the handstand race.
Yeah, me too.
But Corona makes us a little bit of problems.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you ever thought about maybe to coming to visit us here? Do you saw the training center before? I can show you if you want.
What?
I can show you my training center if you want.
Yeah.
I can walk around with you. I try to.
Yeah.
So this is our office here.
Is everything closed or in Germany?
Yeah, we are closed. We are just allowed to do personal training right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So one-on-one sessions. And this one was my apartment before. So I was starting to living here. So I have the kitchen back there.
Oh, nice.
I have a... We're using the kitchen, so we cook every day normally here. Then we have a physio, American physio with this room here.
Ooh, cool.
He's a athletic trainer. His name is David Grant. And I met him some days, and he's like the physio in-house here. With a lot of American clients also. Mm-hmm. This one is our like AKA stretching room. Like we have reboots, Normatec boots,
something like that.
Something to stretch. And also we introduced like the K-box, the K-pulley. And we have like here now a personal training room. Like when we have a class going on downstairs and it's full, we use this room just for personal training.
Oh, okay, that's nice.
Did you ever work out with the eccentric, like the K-box or the K-pulley?
What's that?
That's a flywheel system. I will show you when you come to visit us. That's pretty hard. It's an eccentric overload system.
Oh, okay. No.
So the flywheel gets faster every rep. The more you pull, the more it pushes you down. It's pretty funny.
Okay.
So for the off-season, it's a good thing.
Okay. Just, oh yeah, nice. Yeah.
So we have a normal like bench and cables for like lat pull down seated row. Right now I change a little bit. That's why we have all the dumbbells lying around. Mm-hmm. We have a rig. The only problem is if you're doing muscle ups, you see the height. It's like 3 meters. So we have to go forward because of the head. Yeah, okay. So.
Okay, yes. Really nice.
And what I was missing in CrossFit Zug was something like that.
Yeah, we also miss it.
Okay. I told Stefan he should buy one.
I hope he listens to you.
So if you ever have time and Corona is nice to us, just come with your boyfriend, visit us. You can stay here. We will find a place for you. And you can use the training center. Work out in a different area.
Awesome. Sounds really good.
Cool.
Nice.
So something else you're going to do today or just enjoying your rest day?
I'm just going to enjoy my rest day. I might do some programming and don't have much planned. So foggy outside, it's just like white. Gets so foggy here over the winters. Just sometimes it's just like fog, just 24/7 for a couple of weeks, I feel.
Okay, but in Iceland it's dark all the time.
Yeah. And I can just like go a little bit up in the mountain, like 20 minutes or something, and then I'm above the fog and there's just sunshine. That's super nice.
That's nice. Okay. So thank you for your time. I appreciate it. And maybe if we have more questions, we sit down for another podcast if you have time.
Yeah, of course.
Awesome. Enjoy your day and please stay in touch.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ich hoffe, der Podcast hat dir gefallen. Sehr gerne teile auch diesen Podcast mit deinen Freunden in den sozialen Medien, die du nutzt. Das würde mich sehr, sehr freuen. Auch gerne mal ein Feedback, gerne mal ranken. Und ja, ich freue mich, wenn du das nächste Mal wieder einschaltest. Wenn es wieder heißt, alles ist machbar. Coach Simon.